We would like to thank you for your faithful prayers and gifts down through the years. This program is listener supported, and we could not take the good news of the gospel to the world without your help. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 46th year here in St. Paul, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And our worshiping experience begins promptly at 10 a.m. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Dr. Williams has asked one of our own to share God's word with us this week, Reverend Todd Battle, and he pastors the new Greater Mount Hermon Missionary Baptist Church in Berkeley, California. And he titles his message, A Few Reasons You Ought to Love God.
I don't care who's in the White House. You can't stop God from being God. As a matter of fact, he's so much God until presidents can't veto him and Congress can't legislate him. Police can't arrest him. Firemen can't extinguish him. Liquor stores don't bottle him. Pharmacies can't stock him and protesters can't block him. You know why? He's God all by himself.
If you have your Bible, let's open them together to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 10 and then 14 down through 16. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary. Put your seatbelts on because it's about to be preaching time. Let's join morning worship already in progress.
Well, come on, let's bless the Lord. Come on, 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 come on. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And in that same vein, we bless the name of Jesus Christ on today. And we give all honor and respect and love to the set man of this house, the angel, our pastor. I am a member of St. Paul. My father in the faith and my mentor, Dr. Ephraim Williams, and to all of these great men of God who share the platform with us today, to my son in the ministry, Reverend Shadow Harris, who came to be with us today, and to all of you, my father's children, it's just good to be here. Amen. It's just good to be here. Brother mine, I'm getting to a point to where I say it's good to be anywhere. I wish I had a witness in here. I've got a friend coming in revival, I think within the next couple of weeks, and he says, I'm glad I'm standing on the ground, and the ground ain't standing on me. Hallelujah. And so we are so grateful and thankful to be home today to share out of the Word of God. I got my gang here. I call her my gang because she got my back. Amen. My wife, Lady Patricia Battle, just wave your hand, baby. Amen. She is here. She is here. We are grateful, thankful to her. Amen. We ready for a word today? Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. I want to read verse number 10 and then verses 14 through 16. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10, verses 14 through 16. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength And my Redeemer, we beseech you for preaching power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10, verses 14 through 16. If you got it, say amen. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Jump down to verse 14. "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them." I love this part. "And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." For a few minutes, beloved, I just want to talk about a few reasons you ought to love God. A few reasons you ought to love God. Beloved, if you truly love someone, you ought to be able to articulate your rationale for your love for that person. In other words, if you show enough love somebody, you ought to be willing to talk about them. Do I have a witness in here? I mean, we live in a time where there's nothing but hate and anger and vitriol and viciousness being spewed. But every now and then, somebody ought to talk about love. As a matter of fact, Reverend Poku, I think about some of the music we listen to or used to listen to. Nobody's talking about love anymore. Used to be a time when you could turn on the radio and you'd hear something like, "I've got sunshine." Oh, see, y'all acting like y'all ain't never heard of the Temptations before. "On a cloudy day, it might be cold outside, but I got the month of May." Well, I guess you say, "What can make me feel this way?" Come on, help me somebody. And they said, that's what I'm talking about in here. They didn't mind talking about love. But we went from "my girl" to stuff I can't even talk about in church. Come on, somebody, because nobody wants to talk about love anymore. But what's your point, Pastor? If we can understand that from an earthly and human standpoint, we ought to be able to understand that much greater on a spiritual level. In other words, if I can talk about, the reason people know I love my wife is because I don't mind talking about her. The Lord has blessed us this past year to celebrate 25 years of marriage, and I'm praising God for it. Come on, somebody. And after 25 years, she's still the hot fudge on my Sunday. After 25 years, she is still the cream and whipped cream in my cocoa. Come on, somebody. I say this wherever I go. I don't care if you get mad or not. She's still, after 25 years, the only woman that's able to steam up my glasses. People know I love my wife because I don't mind talking about her. But here we are in the Lord's house talking about how much we love Jesus. But when we get out among the world, we get out among our co-workers, we get out among our schoolmates, we get out among our friends and family, and somebody starts talking about God, we start getting mum and silent. Nobody ever want to say anything. But we say we love him in here. If you love him, you ought not to be able to be afraid to talk about him.
We ought to be able to articulate why we love God. Come on, somebody. And Isaiah explains to us in the prophecy of Isaiah that even because Israel had been disobedient to God, and God has a way of us being disobedient, he has a way of chastising us and using our enemies to be the instrument of chastisement. I know a lot of people will pass, Lord, why are you letting this person get the best of me? Why are you letting this person get the best of me? Maybe he's allowing it because he's trying to see that you haven't been all right yourself. And so, but God, the good news about God, Isaiah explains to us that even when we have not been what we ought to have been, God's love is both enduring and everlasting. Isaiah gives us several reasons why we ought to love God. You still got your Bible open, don't you? We're going to walk through this text, and we're going to be through this morning. And I want to talk to you about a few reasons why you ought to love God. First of all, we ought to love God because of the declarations of God. We ought to love God because of the declarations of God. What do you mean the declarations of God? We ought to love God because of what he has declared about us. We ought to love God because of what he said about us. Well, what did he say about us, Pastor? Verse number 10. This is why I love God, because God told me, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be scared. Come on, somebody. Because God says, "I am with you." I tell you, some of us don't know when to shout. I said, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be fearful, because God himself has said, "I am with you." Well, what does that mean, Pastor? That means we can love God because if he says, "I'm with you," first of all, we have the presence of God. Whenever you see, and we missed it, but he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Anybody who's a Bible reader, your spiritual antennas ought to be going off right now. Anytime you hear God say, "I am," that ought to take your mind back to Exodus chapter 3 and a burning bush situation. Come on, somebody. When Moses talked to the Lord and said, "Now I know you're sending me to Egypt, and your people are going to want to know when I go down and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Your people are going to want to know who it is that sent me and what is your name." And God said, "Well, you just tell them I am that I am. That's who I am." And so we have the I am presence of God. That's why we ought not be afraid, because we've got I am on our side. We've got Elohim on our side. We've got El Shaddai, Almighty God, on our side. We've got Jehovah, the covenant keeping God, on our side. We've got Jehovah Jireh, our provider, on our side. We've got Jehovah Nisi, our banner and protection, on our side. We've got Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace, is on our side. We've got Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. God is on our side. And so we love God because of the declarations of God, because we have the presence of God. But not only do we have the presence of God, we've got the protection of God. Because he says, "I'm with you. You don't have to be afraid." And I need to remind us, because sometimes when we see things going on, particularly in this age in which we live, we start being afraid and we start wondering what's going to happen. But I love the song. This choir sung up in here this morning, y'all. Come on, somebody. And they said, "It's going to get better. And you don't have to worry, because God is in control." And what are you saying? I've got the protection of God. I don't care who's in the White House, as long as I know who's still on the throne. You see, what we don't understand, and this is why we get worried, you got to understand, you cannot stop God from being God. I don't care who's in the White House. You can't stop God from being God. As a matter of fact, he's so much God until presidents can't veto him and Congress can't legislate him. Police can't arrest him. Firemen can't extinguish him. Liquor stores don't bottle him. Pharmacies can't stock him and protesters can't block him. You know why? He's God all by himself. So what are the reasons, Pastor? What are a few reasons that we ought to love God? First of all, we love God because of the declarations of God. Second of all, we love God not only because of the declarations of God, but we love God because of the deliverance of God. It's right there in the text. I hope you still got your Bible open, but jump down to verse number 14. Notice what God says. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Fear not, thy worm Jacob. Now, I don't know, many of you don't know me, but I just want to drop this in, and I hope I got a witness in here. I love to fish. I saw some hands go up. I love to fish. Get me out on the bank. They asked me, my family asked me, what you want for Christmas? I said, a 2017 fishing license. I wish I had a witness. That you give me my pole and put me on the bank. I'm all right. Well, why are you saying that, Pastor? Because when I look at this text, it says, fear not, thou worm. And for those of us who are fishermen, I want you to understand, this is not an earthworm. This is not what we find in our yard. For those who are fishermen and fisherwomen, this is not a night crawler. Are y'all with me in here? This word in the original Hebraic and Aramaic language for worm, it literally means maggot. It literally means maggot. And so here in the text, God says, fear not, you maggot. Well, why are you emphasizing that, Pastor? Because you've got to understand, maggots live and thrive on dead, stinking stuff. And God is saying, fear not, you maggot. Fear not those of you who continue to thrive on dead, stinking stuff. Help us, Pastor. Help us. What do you mean I'm thriving on dead, stinking stuff? Some of y'all in dead relationships, you should have let go a long time ago. And now, because you're having so much hell in your life, they starting to stink. Oh, I still didn't come down your street. Some of you still mad at somebody who did something to you 20 years ago. And it bothers me for folk who call themselves Christians who cannot bring themselves to forgive and let it go. You're thriving on dead, stinking stuff, dead grudges. Somebody come down this aisle that you don't like. You make sure you go up the other aisle where you don't even have to speak to them or talk to them. You do know unforgiveness is like me drinking poison and waiting for you to die. It is dead, stinking stuff. And God said, fear not, you maggots. But he didn't stop there. He didn't just say, fear not, you maggots. But he said, you maggot Jacob. He didn't call him Israel. That's Jacob's changed name. He said, fear not, you worm Jacob. You do know what Jacob means, don't you? Jacob means trickster. Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means hustler. Notice what God said. Fear not, you maggot hustlers. Y'all don't want to say amen in here. It's in the text. Fear not, you maggot hustlers. In other words, God says, not only are you a worm, and oh yeah, we all were worms at one time, but then he says, you're a maggot hustler. You have been trying to hustle God. What do you mean trying to hustle God? I know you don't want to admit it because you're dressed all nice, got on that pretty dress and that hat and that wonderful suit. But every one of us at one point or another tried to hustle God. Anybody ever said this? Lord, if you just get me out of this, ain't never going back in. And as soon as he take you out, you take your smart self and get right back into it. You maggot hustler. You know why I love God? Because I was a maggot hustler, but he didn't leave me there. But he delivered me out of my maggotness and my hustlement and made me somebody else. That's why I love God. You've got some reasons you ought to love God. First of all, you ought to love God because of the declarations of God, what he has declared about you. And then you ought to love God because of the deliverance of God. God took us out of some stuff. And he delivered us. But thirdly, you ought to love God not just for the declarations of God and the deliverance of God. You ought to love God because of the development of God. What do you mean, Pastor, the development? I was a maggot hustler. I was low down and no good. I know you don't want to admit that, but we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I thank God he loved me like I was. But he loved me too much to leave me like I was. He delivered me and then he developed me. Where do you get that from, Pastor? He says in verse 14, fear not, you maggot hustler. But in verse 15, notice what he says. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and shall make the hills as chaff. I knew you as a maggot hustler, as a worm Jacob. But and guess what? A maggot is good for nothing. A hustler is good for nothing. But God says, I'll take you from being good for nothing to being good for something. God is able, you do know God was able to create in the Greek what's called ex nihilo, to be able to make something out of nothing. Come on, somebody. I said, God is able to make something out of nothing. We still haven't got it. Let me say it one more time. Let me rewind it. I'm trying to tell you, God is able to make something out of nothing. Some of y'all still ain't got it, but guess what? I was nothing. Somebody you, in the scriptures, it says, could anything good come out of Nazareth? I'm a witness that because of God, something good could come out of Richmond. And some of y'all in here could say something good came out of Oak Park. Come on, somebody. Something good came out of Sacramento, not because of you, but what because of God, how he developed you. He said, I will take you, although you were a maggot hustler, and I will make you a sharp instrument having teeth, something that was good for nothing, that is now an instrument in my hand, that I am able to bring in wheat and shift out the chaff so that it can be a benefit to somebody else. God blessed you and delivered you and developed you, not so you could brag about where you are, but so that you might be a blessing to somebody else. So that you might have a testimony. Can I say this? And I'm just about done. But I got to tell you, when I talk about this idea of development, there is a problem in many churches that there are some people who, no matter how God develops you, they want to keep bringing up what you used to be. When somebody sees you out in the world, that, ooh, I remember when. I remember when, and I'm glad they remember when, because I say if God could save a rascal like me, he shouldn't have any problems with you. I wish I had a witness in here. But I'm not just talking about outside of the church. There are people inside the church that keep bringing up what they knew about your past and what they saw you do in the future, in the past, and they keep on telling you what you used to be. And I need to remind us that everybody in here is an ex-something. Y'all ain't saying amen in here. We got some ex-liars in here. We got some ex-gossipers. We got some ex-fornicators. We got some ex-adulterers. We got some ex-drug users. We got some ex-drug dealers. You are ex-something. Y'all still ain't saying nothing. Come here. If you're not an ex-something, that means you are present something. Preach battle, I am. They just won't say nothing. Reverend Boku, I'm so glad. I just came back not too long ago for preaching for one of my sons in the ministry down in Southern California, and we had to go through a metal detector. I'm so glad that at the door of the church, God don't have a hypocrite detector. Y'all don't want to say amen in here. Every time somebody walk in, beep, liar, get out. They walk through, boom, adulterer, get out of here. That's why some young people don't want to come to church no more. Y'all don't want us to go here right now, but that's why some young people don't want to come to church anymore, because those of us who got some age on us, and the Lord said the same, I'll be 50 this year, but those of us who got some age on us, we act like we've got convenient amnesia. We jump down their throat when we see them mess up and fall down, but we conveniently forget all of the mess we went through when we were that same age. We sweep it under the rug like it never happened. Your young people are not stupid. They know what you've been doing. Battle, why do you love God? I'm going to leave y'all alone. Y'all can't take much more. Why ought we to love God, Battle? We love God because of the declarations of God, what God has declared about us. We love God because of the deliverance of God, how He delivered me out of the mess that I was in. We love God because of the development of God. Not only did He take me out, but He made me better. But lastly, if God has given us His declarations, He's given us His deliverance, He's given us His development, it then falls on us, beloved, we have a duty. Are y'all listening to me? We have a duty. What do you mean a duty? Verse number 16, and I'm through. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. That's me being developed and doing what God has designed me to do. But then here's our duty. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. If I understand what God has declared about me, and how God has delivered me, and how God has developed me, I have a duty towards God. And let me tell you, my duty, listen, God don't need my money. Did y'all hear what I said? God has us to give so we'll be blessed. But He's already declared a cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. He's already declared the silver and the gold, they belong to me. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah, but we need to understand, God says, your duty to me is to give me glory. Your duty to me, according to the text, yeah, is to rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, if I know God has declared great things about me. And I know God has delivered me. Do I have any delivered folk in the house? And if I know God is developing me, yeah, my duty to the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, is to rejoice and glory in God. All he wants of us is to give him praise and give him some glory. I don't understand delivered folk who can come in to the house of God and sit there like they've been sucking on lemons all night long. Do I have a witness in here? But when God has delivered you and you know God has brought you out, the least you ought to do is tell the Lord, thank you. Do I have a witness here? Is there anybody in this house that's able to say God has brought me out? That says God has delivered me? That says God, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think? Do I have a witness here? I said, do I have one witness here? If you know that God is able to deliver you, it is your duty, it is your duty to give God your best praise. Do I have a witness here? Pastor Battle, what are the reasons you ought to love God? I gave you four, but let me give you a few more reasons why you ought to love God. We love God because he first loved us. Do I have a witness here? But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do I have a witness here? I'm glad that I love God. Why do you love God, Pastor? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, wish I had some Bible readers in here, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do I have a witness here? Is anybody going to rejoice because you have everlasting life? Well, how did it happen, Pastor? One Friday, I say one Friday, Jesus marched up Calvary. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died for my sin, die for your sin, die so everything would be all right. But I'm glad, I said I'm glad, oh shucks y'all, I'm glad that he didn't stay dead, but Sunday morning, he rose. Didn't he rise? Didn't he rise? Some of y'all still looking at me funny. So let me give you my top three reasons why you ought to love God. Number three, God is good. Number two, God is good. Number one, God, 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 he's good. Ain't he good? Shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah.